Here we are. Hello to you. Second half of the show underway. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Man, there was a lot to get to. A ton to get to. There are kids in college. Are they behaving badly or are they just behaving like every other college kid did? So there's that. I have an admission, a gigantic admission to get to, and it involves something that happened today and why I'm a bit squirrely about some things. We'll dive into all that. So much ahead of us. 866-391-1020, like I said. But this story continues to fascinate. Tamara Rush.
The Trump administration will resume student loan forgiveness for millions after reaching a legal deal with the American Federation of Teachers. The agreement reinstates debt relief under two income-driven repayment plans, income contingent repayment and pay as you earn, which had been partially blocked earlier this year. Both plans remain in place for now, but are set to phase out by July 2028 under Trump's proposed loan reform. The administration also clarified that borrowers receiving forgiveness in 2025 won't face federal taxes on that relief, despite a tax exemption law set to expire in December. It's a major shift for borrowers and a win for the 1.8 million member teachers union that took the case to court. Tamara Rush, News Radio KDKA.
All right, so here we go. And I started the show with this, and I'd like to get a good cross-section of people. Let's have a nice conversation, because this is one of those, sometimes the topic is you get a guest. Sometimes the topic is I opine on it or talk about it in sort of advance it. Other topics are, you got to get a cross-section of the people listening to see how they feel. And this is one of those, the third of those options. This is one where I say, in all those nuances and everything that Tamara reported, that's all well and good. But you just say the word student loan forgiveness. When you hear that, what do you think? What do you think? For me, it's largely generational. You have people who are older who say, hey, no way, you borrowed, you pay it back. No, not one red cent for me. That's your responsibility. You have people who are very younger who say, well, you know, my degree was this and I had to borrow in order to just advance in society, in order to even try to get a good job. And so maybe overborrowed, and maybe even my college degree wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. And now the interest rates are through the roof and ridiculous. And so I am in a jam, and some student loan forgiveness would be good. And I think it does make sense. Then you have people in the middle, and I've now fallen into the middle category where I'd be okay with a plan. Maybe it is, and there's a plan already in place. They take, what, $50, $200 a year they can from a paycheck and allocate it right toward your student loans. Maybe you can balloon that number and it be tax-free. But I'm willing to bridge that gap. Now, we were talking about this earlier at 866-391-1020. And a caller called, and she was part of that first group. Over my dead body. Marianne and Shaler it was. I'm not giving you one dime of mine. You borrowed it. You pay 100% of it plus the interest back. Don't come asking me for one nickel because I ain't giving it to you. And I went into the producer booth, and Margo was in there. And Margo said, you know, well, Margo's always in there because she's the producer and she does an incredible job, a better job than anybody in this building. And Margo said to me, you know, she doesn't make me mad, but there's a conversation here. And I said, what is it? She goes, she just doesn't understand. So help me understand here, Margo, as somebody who just graduated, you're 23 years old, and I'm assuming you had student loans.
Yes, I have a lot of student loans. I was just, sometimes I can see the ignorance of some of the older generations thinking that college costs the same as it did in 1980. Which it doesn't, obviously, but even if you account for inflation, it still was cheaper back then than if it were to be the same today. I don't know if that made any sense, but it just kind of frustrates me also.
You're saying the disparity is wider between...
Yes.
Okay, I got it now. Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm not asking for all my student loans to be forgiven, but it is greatly weighing on my generation, especially because when I took out my student loans, the interest rates were at 2%, and now they're around 10%. So it is just really frustrating to deal with.
Okay, so what if people say this, and here is their response to somebody like you, because you're perfect to have on this topic, because you're living it. Somebody said, no one made you sign that piece of paper that said you were going to borrow X amount of dollars plus X amount of interest and that you had to repay it, and the trade-off was a college education. No one made you do that, and you entered into an agreement willingly.
You're right. No one made me do that, but in this day and age, you can't get a job without a college degree, without some sort of college degree, even if you are making minimum wage. And I mean, I would make those sacrifices to take an entry-level job at McDonald's, but that's not really what I want to do. But still, the job market is insane right now. So it's really hard to keep your head above water without a college degree. And then you make the sacrifice to get a college degree and still can't keep your head above water because of how much it costs.
Okay, so what about if they expanded the plan from instead of $5,200 a year and they set aside part of your earnings that were allocated right to paying off your student loans at a tax-free rate and say it was $10,000 or something? Would you be okay with expanding that number?
I would genuinely be okay with any number. I know I took loans out and I know that I need to pay them back. I'm not asking for all of them to be forgiven. I'm just asking for a little bit of grace, especially when throughout college under the Biden administration, I thought maybe I was going to get some of my student loans forgiven, which kind of, it makes sense that under this administration, they're kind of considering forgiving a few of those loans.
Gotcha. Does it put you out? Now, I don't want to get into your pocket or in your money or whatever, but does it feel like an avalanche sometimes? Like, how am I going to figure this all out?
Yes, it does. And I'm not paying the minimum because I'm trying to get them paid off as soon as I possibly can so they don't accrue any more interest. So, yeah.
That, all right.
It does make you feel like an avalanche.
Any brave soul out there who's particularly rich can help Margo out at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. You could drop off cash, check, any of that to Margo.
I'll take anything.
Yeah, anything. Go right to her student loans. But I get it, and I get the marriage of the two. And when I hear stories like yours, that's why I warm to it. You know, you get these people, it's a non-starter of a conversation, Margo. Student loan forgiveness, all deadbeats. I'm not giving them a dime. That's not your case, and it's not the way that you are. And you're willing to, in good faith, pay off what you can, but you're going to get toppled over if you just keep doing that.
Yeah, and I'm not asking for free college, especially because that would mean that it wasn't worth anything, that my degree wasn't worth anything. So I just am trying to keep my head above water, like I said.
Speaking of college, some college kids got in trouble for being college kids. But then again, I think they're kind of silly for getting caught doing this. I'll explain in just a little bit. Oh, by the way, congratulations. Fox Chapel Jr. Carson Kitzley is your PIAA Class 3A golf champion. How about this, though? He repeated as the PIAA state champion. He's the third person from around here to win two state championships back-to-back. One is a guy named Jeff Dixon of Knock, 91-92. The other, two-time state champion back-to-back, Arnold Palmer Latrobe, 46-47. Let's go. Foxes aren't asking for any mercy in golf, I'll tell you that much. Not asking for strokes there. Let's go. How about that kid? I love it. All right. Anyway, back to it. Student loans. 866-391-1020. Then we get into a different story about college that I must get into before the hour's out. Donna's in Shaler. Hi, Donna.
Hi. A couple things. I admire Margo for admitting that she signed that paper knowing that she owed the money and would have to pay it back. A lot of the people, the younger generation, feels that that's owed to them. But as an alternative, I know I was not fortunate this way, but I made sure I did it for my child. There are 529 plans for parents to save towards college. Also, what I did is I worked full-time for a company that paid for school, and I went to night school for 9 years to get my degree because I could not afford it. But with and then thirdly, there's also trades that you make a lot more money than a college-educated person, and I don't feel that you should get loan forgiveness to go to college to get a degree in Japanese that you'll never get a professional job in. With all that being said, why is college so expensive? Is anybody asking that question?
Yeah, it seems like it's arbitrary what they charge for it. It's outlandish what they charge for it. It makes no sense. All your other points absolutely are great ones, but they're all sort of complementary points to this big one is why does the cost of schooling keep going up and it becomes more exclusive instead of inclusive? And then those other things become secondary points even more, Donna.
I totally agree with you. The cost of textbooks, and then they change books every semester so kids cannot buy used books or hand them down. I think the more important question is what colleges need to justify why they're charging what they charge.
I agree. 100% so. And it's not necessarily a keeping up with the Joneses. It's a, this is what I have to do to better my life or to just get a job where I can buy a house, have a family, a car. You do bring up a great point. Not enough people talk about the trades the way they should. Rich is in Moon. Hi, Rich. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Your previous caller took a lot of my thunder, but I agree with her about the trades. That's huge. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not getting a good job without college education. Well, that's not true anymore. One time that was a true statement, but not anymore. And the price of college, like you said, is just outrageous. They can't justify it. I think the government ought to get involved with that and have some kind of regulatory and investigate why they're charging X, Y, and Z for whatever. And the other thing is that really bothers me, and I haven't heard anybody say this, is put out, I know you're a huge sports fan, put out the salaries of these head coaches of these football teams. I mean, they make tens of millions of dollars.
Right, but a lot of that has no link because most of the time.
I don't believe in that.
What's that?
I don't believe in it. It's the same school. It's the same.
Right, if you let me finish, I'd explain. A lot of the football programs run as an independent arm and raise all their money and then pay their coaches with that money. And they're not taking $10 out of your kid's tuition.
I respectfully disagree with that statement. Not for
well,
you.
It's fact,
I'm
though.
Just saying that, yeah, well, I can tell you that if the government got involved, they could smooth things over, make it more equitable.
Yeah, all your points are good except the football one. They act as independent arms of the university, and they're self-sufficient, most of the big-time college football programs, if not all of them. Your points are all good, but that's not going to do anything lowering the salaries of the football coaches because they don't. You can't compare them to some biology teacher, some science teacher, some English teacher because they're not self-sufficient in the English department. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. I do have to tell you about some other college kids in just a little bit. All right, back into it. We'll get back into these student loans in just a moment, but bear with me here. There's another college story that we have to talk about. 866-391-1020. I promise I'll grab your student loan calls in a minute. So more than 60 people at Slippery Rock University have been cited for underage drinking in just 1 month's time. According to all these reports from university and state police, police charged 65 people at Slippery Rock on campus and at surrounding apartment complexes with underage drinking in September. I'd like to know how this is any different than any other time. But anyway, in response, university police have invested additional funds into patrols and started carrying portable breathalyzers to cut testing and transport times. I think since the advent of time at Slippery Rock University, if you truly wanted to catch 60 people drinking underage, you could do that on any Friday or Saturday night, let alone a whole month. I'm trying to figure out if this is a big story or no story at all. What I will say is this. It's kind of hard to get caught. It just is. Unless you kind of, no, I don't know about at Slippery Rock. I was arrested for underage drinking in college because I was being an idiot. I had an open container and was walking through campus with a bunch of buddies of mine. And three of us got arrested. So it wasn't hard to get caught because we were idiots. Okay? That being said, if you're not an idiot and you kind of keep it moving and blend in and don't do anything dumb, you could pretty much, well, not get caught. But then again, when you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you start drinking at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, by 10, 11 o'clock, you're prone to do something very dumb. They've made a lot about this story. 60 people at Slippery Rock have been cited for underage drinking in a month's time. If you would have just shown me that, I would have shrugged my shoulders and went, honestly, is that any different than any other month? And I'm not trying to make light of it or fun of it or whatever. I'd go, well, yeah, as long as nobody's driving, like, that happens at college all the time, right? 60 people in a month? That's, you know, like 12, 15 a weekend. Is that a big deal? I don't know if that's the case or not, but they moved a big story and acted like it was a gigantic thing. Who knows? Back to the student loans, which is why all these kids drinking are at school drinking, because they got student loans they have to look forward to. 866-391-1020. When I say student loan forgiveness, there are a lot of people who jump on the over my dead body am I paying any of your student loans. You're responsible for all of them. And I can understand that. But I do think we could come up with a quotient. We could come up with a formula where we can sort of ease the burden a little bit while not totally absolving them. Alex is in Grove City where they don't drink at all. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
So I'd like to... So first about the drinking... That's not a big thing. I think the problem in Slippery Rock is they ain't got enough college police or even Slippery Rock police. I think they only got like two police vehicles in Slippery Rock. Like, there's not enough. I think they could probably arrest in a weekend 200 students on the weekend.
Well, you could do but that at any campus place. In this country, pretty much, if you really wanted to.
Sure.
Not named Grove
Absolutely.
City.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I have two kids in college, so I'm just saying. But back to the student loans. I think one of the big misconceptions about student loan forgiveness is what people don't understand is it's not all college students that get student loan forgiveness. It's only people who work for the government. You enter a contract. Only certain college degrees and certain professions in the government will allow you to apply for student loan forgiveness.
Yeah, like the problem that I have are people who aren't talked out of or people who are accepted at ridiculous liberal arts universities, and they are taking classes in majoring in things where even if they hit the ceiling, it's not going to be worth the piece of paper that it's written on. Like in prestigious schools too. But like, okay, do you really need to be a French major with a performative dance minor at frickin' Bryn Mawr or whatever? What is that going to do for you? And then when you come out and you have $207,000 in student loan debt, how are you going to be responsible for that? That's the problem I have, more so than somebody going to get a true accounting degree or something that is applicable to the real world, and they're having a problem paying it back. Casey's in Cranberry. Hi, Casey.
Hi. I was calling about the couple things, the 1980 college tuitions. I can tell you that, no, it didn't cost me as much to go, but there was a hardship for it because when I got out of college, the minimum wage was like $2.50.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not apples to apples, but it does make a difference.
Gotcha.
That way. But what I wanted to call was, and that last caller kind of touched on it too, was that, you know, my daughter is graduated from college, went to Clarion, got her degree in biology. She is now working for the state as a seasonal part-time worker. And all of a sudden she has all these major bills that she has to start paying back. She knew she was going to have to pay these back. She has no issues with that. But her degree in biology for 4 years is costing her almost as much as what her brother has for his MBA from Kent State as an architect. So I think a couple callers back has said about why is the cost so much. And a lot of that is what these presidents are making, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, the college presidents, you're right about that. That said, though, if they are the leader of a university, there is a great responsibility. The whole system does need to be blown up and kind of restarted. And also, state colleges, the state universities, particularly in our state, need to be stronger and better. And need to streamline their curriculum to have many more things that are practical. Many of them have done that, but that has to happen even more. And that's kind of the big first step. And they've started to do that. You look at the way that they've combined different schools and done different things, but they have to make sure that each and every class, I'm not just talking about majors, each and every class has to have a practical application to life and get rid of all the fat. 866-391-1020. Another case of blaming society instead of the parents. We'll get into that coming up next. And do you watch football on TV? Or do you listen on the radio right here on KDK? You might be interested in something coming up just past 5 o'clock. Again, 866-391-1020. All right, here's a story from The Wire about parents shirking responsibility again. And we'll look for it. Excuse me. I had a banana. Like, gave me the burps, is what it is. Thanks for bearing with me. Parents shirking responsibility. We'll look peripherally at all this stuff, lawsuits, this, that, the other thing. The first line of defense has to be parental oversight.
Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer says the subpoenas will let prosecutors find evidence of what he calls criminal activity,
as well as evidence on the predators that are out there and the victims that are abused.
Uthmeyer accuses Roblox of profiting from kids while failing to protect them. Roblox Chief Safety Officer Matt Kaufman spoke with CBS News earlier this month, and he says while big gaming platforms will always attract bad actors,
our job is to do the best that we possibly can to prevent anything from happening on our platform and to report those situations as quickly as possible.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Yeah, the Roblox guy, whatever. You're definitely trying to prey on kids to make the most money possible. That's just the way that it is. And you most likely have very loose security protocol so as to further your product. You're not fooling anybody. And there's not really all those stringent attempts to There's strong attempts and strident attempts to fool people. You are what you are. It is what it is. And this goes back to parental oversight. This is like the simplest thing that we keep making a big story in American society. We throw our, their iPad at a kid or a phone, some sort of a electronic device that's connected to the internet. And use it as a babysitter. Far too many parents do. So they do that. They throw it at their kid, use it as a babysitter. They spend hours upon end, unsupervised, looking at all kinds of things, or the parents think it's supervised because they've okayed a certain app or game or whatever. And then they act surprised on the back end of it whenever they say, well, somebody infiltrated it and tried to get nefarious messages or bad things across to your kid. Somebody tried to communicate and wasn't really on the up and up. Well, yeah, because goofy you threw the machine at your child and went and didn't want to play parent, nor did you check on the back end any checks and balances, their history or this or that or what they've been doing. It's like the simplest script ever. And then you want to victimize yourself, which you are to a point, but a lot of it can be nullified by simple, well, parenting. And kind of that's where we are with this. A lot of it can be offset by proactive or even semi-reactionary parenting instead of acting surprised. Now, top of the hour, you like watching football? I do. I like listening to it as well. There's a tale going on locally, and I just want to pry through it and get the facts. I'll tell you all about that in just a little bit.